Mexico, and this is our podcast, Together We Serve. I'm speaking with Ana Herrera, an Air Force wife who lives in Albuquerque. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, it's nice of you to take some time this afternoon to talk to me over the phone. I have heard that you have a really fascinating story, and so I'd like our listeners to, get to learn a little bit more about your family. And so I wanted to start off with saying that I understand you were born in Yugoslavia during World War II.
Yes, I was born in May 24, 1942.
And you said that you were of German descent. What does that mean? Why were there Germans living in Yugoslavia?
Yeah, we were German descendants living in Yugoslavia, and we were called Donauschwaben because we lived along the Danube. And the reason the Germans lived in Yugoslavia, because in the 1700s, there were not too many jobs in Germany, so the Yugoslav government offered land to German refugees to cut a come live in Yugoslavia.
So the two cultures lived very well together, though, right? The Yugoslavs and the German descendants, they got along well?
And not too well. Sometimes the Serbs and the Germans, sometimes they didn't get along so well. But my mom said, I guess everybody tried to make it work.
But then after World War II was over, politics changed. And so what happened to your family at that point?
Well, towards the end of the war, the president of Yugoslavia, Tito, he did not want no more German descendants in Yugoslavia. So they shot most of the men, and my dad, they shot him October the 27th, 1944. They came into town, and they took the men at the end of the town, and they shot all the men. And so the only ones that were left were like the mothers with kids and grandparents.
So you were very young at that time. You were only 2 or 3 years old, right?
I was 2 and a half.
So you had no idea what really had happened at that point.
No, I did not.
So what happened to your mother?
So in April 1945, Tito, he made the German descendant an offer that they could stay. If they wanted to become communist, they could stay in their home. And if not, then he was going to put all of us in concentration camps.
And so what did your mother say?
So my mother, she refused. She did not want to become communist. So, she just said no, that, she did not want to stay.
So your mother was taken to a concentration camp. What happened to you girls? What happened to... You had sisters, right? You had sisters.
Yes, I had 2 sisters. So when all the people that didn't want to become communist, they came by one day and they told everybody to get ready and... the only thing they could take is what they could carry, and they could not take any money with them. But they were going to take us somewhere. And they took us to concentration camps. They took my mom and my sister. They were in one camp, and then me and my grandparents, we were put in another camp.
How old was your sister?
My older sister was 16.
Oh, okay. And so why did they separate you? Do you know, or was it just the way?
Because the older people and teenage kids, they had to go work in the fields.
Okay, so you were with your grandparents, and how did that, what happened?
I remember just a little bit. Like, I remember they had like long tables outside, you know, where they would feed us. And then they had like bunk beds for kids, and we just slept on straw. We didn't have no pillows and just a small blanket.
And your grandparents, you said, died there.
Yeah, my grandparents died of hunger, and my mom somehow, she got me back to the camp that she stayed, but kids were not allowed there, so she had to hide me during the day while she was at work.
Did she tell you how she managed that? Did the other people help her in this hiding of you, or were you?
Yes, she had people that helped her hide me.
But you were only like two or three at the time. I'm amazed that you would be so quiet. You know, most toddlers, no is their favorite word. But you obviously were well-disciplined to be able to stay hidden.
Yeah, I was, because my mom said everything she told me, I did. And actually, the day they came to get us from our homes, they had told my everybody that, you know, they could not take any money, that all the money had to be left on the table. So my mom, you know, she said, well, she's not going to leave money that much on the table. So what she did, she left a little bit on the table, she burned some, and then she pinned some in my T-shirt and told me not to let anybody undress me. And I listened to her because in the evening, when my grandmother wanted to undress me to go to bed, I would not let her undress me.
Wow. Wow. So you're living now with your mother and the other women, I imagine, in this concentration camp, and your sister. What happened? How long were you there?
We were in different concentration camps for 2 years. They put us in one camp, and then they put us in another camp. And so we were in about three different camps over 2 years. And then my mom, she met my stepdad, and we escaped into Austria.
Do you remember how you did that? What did you do? How did you get out? How did you escape?
Well, my mom said it was at night time, and one thing I remember is my older sister, she would carry me on her back, and we would only walk night time, mm-hmm. you know, so mm-hmm. people would not see us. And then, you know, we couldn't talk, and my mom, she said that my other sister, she had a cough, so my mom had to put a handkerchief in her mouth, so, you know, so she would not cough. So we would not be heard.
Did you understand how wrong this was, how this wasn't normal for children to be raised? Or did you just, you never thought about how other kids weren't having to escape and weren't having to be in camps? Did you know any different, or?
No, I think I was just too young to know the difference.
So you escaped to Austria, and then what?
We escaped into Austria, and then there was the Russians. They had taken over a castle from an Austrian prince.
Uh-huh.
And they took a lot of us refugees, and we lived in that castle. And the older people had to go work on the farm. And in the fields,
uh-huh.
And then us kids, we went to school there.
So you went to an Austrian school. Now, you said you ended up in France. Your mother read an ad in the paper, so you were living in Austria, and you were going to school there, and then your mother found a job in France?
Yes, she was reading the newspaper, and she saw an ad where French farmers were looking for refugees from Yugoslavia to work on their field, on their farms, and that they would pay our way, and when we got there, they would have a place to put us.
And so, how did, so you, your mother signed up and somebody sent money and you guys went?
Yeah, we took the train from Austria and we to France, to Paris, and then from Paris we took the train to Charleroi, which that's where we ended up. And when we got there, they had the four barracks, as they had them ready for all the German refugees. Mm-hmm. And then the French farmers came and they picked, you know, families that they wanted to work on their farm.
And so you guys got picked.
Yeah, we got picked by a person. He had three farms, and then he had a factory that made the cows for roofs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we, you know, we stayed there for about 2 years.
So you had to go to school in France then, and so how did the refugee children, how did they fit into the French school?
Not very good, because the French kids called us names, so it was kind of hard for us, you know, for quite a while. And then we moved to another town, and things were better there. The kids were not that mean to us.
So you actually stayed in school until you were 14 when you graduated, and then what did you do when you graduated? Did you get a job, or what did you do?
Yeah, after I graduated, I went to work for a couple that had a pharmacy, and they had four kids. So I worked for them as a nanny, and then after that, I went to work for another couple where there was a man and his sister, and she was paralyzed. So I worked for them for a while, and then I went and put my application on base to get a job on base.
And so you met an American couple, you told me, and so they took you on as a nanny. So did you speak English?
No, I did not speak English. But since I spoke German, and my boss, he spoke some German, so we were able to communicate, but I learned the English language very fast.
So they lived off base, you said, but then moved on to base, and this was at Châteauroux. They moved on to Châteauroux then?
Yes, they lived on base, and then they got base housing, and the day they moved, he got a lot of GIs to help them move, and that's how I met my husband.
So, how old were you at that point?
I was 17.
17. And so, what was the impression of your husband? How did he look any different than any other GI, or how did you know that this was the right one?
I think it was just love at first sight.
Well, I think you've proven that, because you've been married for 54 years. So that's a good indication that it was love at first sight. So how old were you when you got married then?
I was 17 and a half.
Okay. So what kind of wedding did you have? Did you have a military wedding, or what kind of wedding?
First, we had a French wedding. We got married at the courthouse, and then we just walked down the street to the church and got married in church.
I forgot to ask you, how old was your husband?
My husband, he was 21.
21. So now you're 17 and a half, and you've married an American GI, and now you're an Air Force wife.
Yes.
How did the American wives treat you?
The American wives are real fine. I got along real well with them. It was really good.
So, but you had mentioned that it wasn't so good for your husband at times.
No, because when he told his first sergeant that he was going to be marrying me, they tried to talk him out of it, because they think my husband is Spanish and I'm German, and they asked him, what do you think your kids would look like?
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
but he didn't listen to them, and he married you anyway.
Yes, he did.
And you have kids?
Yes, we have one son that was born in Charleroi in January 1960, and then we have our daughter that was born in Idaho in 1962.
So now getting back to the young married Air Force wife, how did you adapt to the military life? I mean, did you do a lot of the things that military spouses do? Did you join clubs, or were you working, or what was your life like as a brand new military wife?
Our life was fine. I get used to things very fast, and since I was still working, but I did not join any club or anything like that.
Was your husband enlisted or an officer?
He was enlisted.
Enlisted. So you met and married overseas. Now, his family, obviously, where was his family living in the States?
His family lives in Dolores, Colorado.
In Colorado. So how long had you been married before you actually met his family, and what was it like meeting his family for the first time?
We were married about 6 months when we came back to the States, and I liked his family right away, and we got along really well.
So you guys spent 21 years in the military. Where were some of the other places you lived?
Well, we lived in Idaho, and then we lived in, my husband went to Greenland for a year. And then we went to California. And California, we went to Germany, and then here to Albuquerque.
So what was it like moving to Germany? Because obviously you had been raised speaking German, and now you were in Germany, but you had never been in Germany as a kid. So what was it like coming back to the home of your ancestors years later?
Oh, we liked it right away. You know, and then people speaking German, you know, that was more familiar to me, you know.
So we
love Germany.
So where were you stationed in Germany?
Hahn, Germany.
In Hahn. Mm-hmm. Did you, while you were in Germany, ever go to the places where your ancestors had come from?
Yeah, we went to that area to visit. Yeah, Alsace, we visited Alsace, yeah.
Alsace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when we were in Germany, too, I have one half-brother that was born in Austria. Mm-hmm. And he always wanted to go to the place where he was born, and we took him there 1 year.
Did you ever go back to the places where the concentration camps were as an adult?
No, my mom never wanted to go back to Yugoslavia. It was just too hard for her.
Yeah. Yeah. So what memories stick out most in your mind of 21 years of being an Air Force wife?
Just that, you know, I enjoyed moving, and I enjoyed making new friends, and we just loved being in the service.
And did either of your kids join the service?
No. Neither one.
So you mentioned something that your husband and you got to go on Air Force One. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, my husband worked for civil service, and his boss was in Los Angeles. And my husband told his boss, because my husband was servicing Air Force One, every time Air Force One came to New Mexico, he's the one that would service.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he had always told his boss, the one thing I would like to do before I retire is go on Air Force One. And his boss said, well, we'll try to make it happen. And he didn't make it happen.
So you got to see it.
Yeah, so me and my husband, we got to go on Air Force One.
What's it like?
Oh, it was amazing. Really, 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 what a plane. Very, very nice.
Did you get to meet the president that came with the Air Force One?
No, we didn't. He he was out here in Albuquerque somewhere, so we didn't get to meet him.
So, wow. What a story, though. You know, it's amazing. You know, we're trying to get the stories of all sorts of military families, and your story has been moving and inspiring and just interesting. And there are a lot of parallels to some people I knew. I knew a woman who actually became a nanny for me, and she was living in Schlesien, in which is now Poland, and she had to flee from the Russians that were coming in, and so she met service members, and she, you know, was, her life was changed too. So wow, it's such a diverse culture we have as military families. So what is your, I never asked, what is your husband's name?
Sam.
It's what?
Sam.
Sam. Sam Herrera. Yeah. Well, listen, this has been absolutely lovely talking to you, and we need to wrap it up. I've kept you on the phone far too long. It was interesting. So once again, this is Circe Olson Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I have been speaking with Ana Herrera. And this is our podcast, Together We Serve. And so I wanted to thank you so much, Ana, for talking to us and sharing your fascinating story. Thank you. Thank you.